Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Hello, America. Hello, the world. Today we are all French. Welcome to The Savage Nation, another sad day of pacifism, collaboration, death and dying. The West is dying in front of our eyes because of corrupt, weak, liberal leadership. The question for you all today is simple. If you were to advise a legitimate government, which we do not have, what would you advise them to do in the United States of America to prevent the next Islamist from killing another American? In the United States, we are facing two wars and losing both. We are facing an internal race war fueled by this administration, and both an internal and an external religious war, which we will not even acknowledge, let alone fight. And I'm asking you again, what would you advise the government do to stop the next Islamist attack in America? Don't sit there wringing your hands, saying there's nothing you can do. A legitimate society that wishes to live has survival skills. A society that is in decline, a society that is half dead, a society that is drugged, a society that is obsessed with drugs and sex, is half dead anyway. So the question is, what do we do for the rest of us who are not dead? We don't have a government. We do not have a government, certainly not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have a government that kowtows and caters to the enemy after every terrorist attack. They won't even acknowledge who is doing this. The crackpot in the White House would not even acknowledge it was committed by Islamists. Even the president of France, the socialist president of France at that, said that it's the Islamists who have warred against the French. But the psycho in the White House wouldn't even say that. Instead, yesterday, he had the nerve to conduct a town hall meeting about race relations in America. In fact, I was in a restaurant last night celebrating Bastille Day in solidarity with the French people. And the television over the bar had the town hall meeting. I asked the owner to either put my meal in a box or turn it off. He said, I will turn it off, and he put on a Chinese cooking show. I would not look at this collaborationist one more second. And you're not going to believe how psychically damaged this man is. You don't even know how psychically damaged Obama is. After the terrorist attack in France, there's a town hall meeting on Wolf Blitz's propaganda channel. Shame on you, Jeff Zucker. Jeff Zucker, who runs CNN, is a shame both to his ancestry and to the American people. But let's put that aside for a minute. We know the media has destroyed us. We understand that. During this so-called town hall meeting on race, this crazy president of ours, the man is psychologically imbalanced, had the nerve to say this. Listen to his example of the racism he has suffered in his life in clip two on The Savage Nation.
And I still remember when I was 10 years old, walking into the elevator, and there was a woman who I thought knew me, and as soon as I walked on, and she lived on my grandparents' floor, when I walked on, she got off. And I was puzzled. I said, do you want to come up? And she said, no. And then I went up, and then I saw the elevator going back down, and I just kind of peeked out the peephole, and I could see she came right back up, but was just worried about riding an elevator with me.
Maybe she was working for the Department of Homeland Security and was psychic. This is what he carries in his mind? A woman got off an elevator? This is the signature moment of his life? A spoiled boy raised by his grandparents, his white grandparents at that, never worked a day in his life, never washed a dish, never delivered a newspaper, never did anything of any value to anybody except manipulate a society and destroy it. But let's put him aside. No, should we not put him aside? The reason we are vulnerable to another attack is because of him. He has deballed the entire government. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means everybody in the CIA, everybody in the Defense Intelligence Agency, everybody in Homeland Security has been handpicked to kowtow to this psycho. And even if they wanted to do their job, they couldn't do their job. The only one who said the thing I liked the most was, of all people, the people who I said, the person I said, Gingrich, is the only one who said anything of any value since this attack in France. And what's ironic for me is I had said, when I had Donald Trump on yesterday, I said, oh, anyone but Gingrich, remember? And I even said to you on this show that if he picks Gingrich, I'm not going to vote for him. Of course, that's impossible to say today because he didn't pick Gingrich, and I probably would have voted for him anyway. I certainly would have. But nevertheless, I didn't like Gingrich. And yet Gingrich comes up to the plate and, like Babe Ruth, hits it out of the park. Listen to what Gingrich had to say about what must be done to keep America safe.
Western civilization is in a war. We should, frankly, test every person from here who is of a Muslim background, and if they believe in Sharia, they should be deported. Sharia is incompatible with Western civilization. Modern Muslims who have given up Sharia, glad to have them as citizens, perfectly happy to have them next door. We need to be fairly relentless about defining who our enemies are.
At least someone said it. Now I want to talk about another subject, which is very controversial, but we're living through extremely controversial times. I would say extreme times, and only extreme ideas are going to save us. Polite ideas are not going to save us. They're not going to save us at all. They're going to kill us all. Politeness will kill us all. Did you hear what I just said? Politeness, kindness will kill us all. We are in a war. They are in a war with us, and we're not in a war with them. I've known this since 9/11. I've said it since 9/11. In fact, I have the tape of me saying that we're at war in 9/11. Right after 9/11, 2001, what was that, 15 years ago? I went on the air and I said, we are at war, we are at war, we are at war. I'm glad to hear that Bill O'Reilly said last night, this is a war. Thanks, Bill, it only took you 15 years. Welcome to the club. Very brave of you 15 years later. But he's not the issue. He's not my enemy. He's not my problem. He's not the problem of America. He does a fine job. No, the problem is in the mindset of the, I hate to keep using the word liberal because it has no meaning anymore. It's like saying cancer. You say liberal and cancer, it's worn off already. It has no effect. It's like saying heart attack. It doesn't have any effect. Cancer, liberal means nothing anymore. But the liberal cancer that has invaded America's psyche is going to kill us all, one at a time, one group at a time, one city at a time. And so you have to ask yourself, you pray to God that when the Hawaiian leaves, the Donald Trump wins, because you know Hillary's going to continue Obama's pacifist policies and use all of her viciousness to attack only conservatives. You know Sidney Blumenthal will not turn his genius on the Muslims. Will only turn it on American conservatives, that snake, that asp. A biblical asp works for her. But let's put them aside. Let's say Trump wins, and we finally say, thank God, maybe we can survive this, because we're not surviving it right now. You think we are, because well, most of us haven't been touched by it. But the fact that we're all talking about it means we've all been touched by it psychically. Every person in this country who is conscious knows that there is a Islamist problem in America and that there is a world war going on. Everybody knows that, from a mountaintop to a houseboat. Whether they live on a houseboat in Sausalito or a mountaintop in Colorado, they all know there is a war. The only one who doesn't know there is a war is the elevator rider in Hawaii. He's still obsessed that when he was 10 years old, a white woman got out of the elevator with him. It's unbelievable to me. And he's the leader of the free world. Gingrich was 100% right. Now, I want to go back to another time in history. We had a very liberal president. Some would call him a socialist. His name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a four-term, a three-and-a-half-term president. And during World War II, right after Pearl Harbor, he did something that you've all heard about. He interred all Japanese-American citizens. They were all put into internment camps. Now, that could never happen again. Why, that we've been taught in school how evil that was. Now, it is true that there was no Japanese terrorism in America during World War II. That is certainly a fact. But what you don't know about the internment during World War II because it's been expunged from the history books by the communist liberal establishment, is that not only were the Japanese Americans interned in World War II, this is something I know because I've studied this for years. Do you know the German Americans and Italian Americans were also interned, but they never complained about it? Do you know the Joe DiMaggio, the great baseball player? He had a father who was a fisherman here in San Francisco. I learned this 20 years ago. His father was a fisherman. His father had a little boat, little fishing boat. Do you know that Joe DiMaggio's father's fishing boat was interred by the U.S. government during World War II for fear that as an Italian-American, they couldn't trust him? They gave it back to him after the war, I understand. Do you know how many other Italian-American immigrants in the United States were deemed enemy aliens and detained, relocated, stripped of their property, or placed under curfew? Do you know? You didn't hear about it because it doesn't fit the racist agenda, or shall I say the racialist agenda, of the radical left. All you heard about was the Japanese were interred, it was done because they didn't look like us. But as I said to you, 600,000 undocumented Italian immigrants in the U.S. were deemed enemy aliens. They were detained, relocated, stripped of their property, or placed under curfew. A couple of hundred locked in internment camps. You don't know anything about this. Some Italians remember this, and they call this chapter of U.S. history Una Storia Segreta. Una Storia Segreta, which means both a secret story and a secret history. Now, why would they do this to Italians? The largest immigrant group in the country at the time were Italians, and non-citizens who were Italian were targeted. About 600,000 of the country's 5 million Italians had not yet been naturalized, and they were forced to register as enemy aliens, carry photo ID booklets, surrender flashlights, shortwave radios, guns, binoculars, cameras, and other contraband. Did you know anything about this? Raise your hand if you do. Three of you might know it. There were FBI raids on private Italian homes, arrests, and detentions. In California alone, 10,000 Italians were evacuated, mostly from coastal areas, and sites near power plants, dams, and military installations. Did you know prohibited zones were created? You didn't read about this in your little stupid newspapers? 257 people, 90 from the Golden State, Italians, put in internment camps for up to 2 years. Fishing boats were seized. Did you know that? Thousands of Italian fishermen lost their jobs. In San Francisco, 1,500 were idled, including Joe DiMaggio's father. Another 52,000 enemy aliens lived under nightly house arrest. Did you know that? Didn't read about that in the old San Francisco Chronicle? Instead, you heard about the internment of the Japanese because we're racists? No, we weren't racist, you see. FDR was a liberal. Last thing from racism was he. He did it because he knew that as a leader of the free world, as the commander-in-chief, he owed it to his people. Unlike this creature in the White House, FDR knew he had one job, and that job was to protect the American people, to keep them safe. This creature in the White House is the exact opposite of FDR. That's the opening to my show. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Now, what you don't know about these subhumans who are committing these atrocities is that they're not on the equivalency of the Nazis, they're worse. If you could imagine what I'm about to tell you is true, well, let me put it to you this way. Turn the radio off if you're weak-minded. Remember the terrorist attack by the Muslim extremists at Bataclan? Oh, that was a long time ago. That was a club in Paris. And the French, of course, learned nothing from the Muslim murderers there. Did you hear about the fact that the French government has suppressed reports of a gruesome torture of all the people during that massacre by the Muslim sadists? They didn't just execute them. Do you know what they did to them? A French government committee has heard testimony suppressed by the French government at the time and not published online until this week that the Muslim killers in the Bataclan tortured their victims on the second floor of the club. In fact, The chief police witness in Parliament testified that on the night of the attacks, an investigating officer, tears streaming down his face, rushed out of the Bataclan nightclub and vomited in front of himself just after seeing the disfigured bodies. You don't know that this 14-hour testimony about what these Muslim subhumans did during the November attacks took place March 21st. According to this testimony released now on the Savage Nation, Wahhabist killers reportedly gouged out eyes, castrated victims, shoved their testicles in their mouths, disemboweled some, stabbed women in the genitals, and then, wait, they filmed this torture for the Islamic State propaganda machine. For this reason, medics did not release the bodies of torture victims to the families, investigators said. There's a gigantic cover-up. Did you hear what I just said? Now, the same cover-up is going on here in the United States of America because we have either a sympathetic fellow traveler who somehow feels that there's a justification for some of their abominable behavior. Of course, he doesn't support it. Of course, he doesn't go along with the torture. But, you know, they may have a legitimate grievance. Ask Wood Blitzer. Ask Wood Blitzer if the Muslims have a legitimate grievance. Ask old Blinky Blitzer. Because you cannot believe the justifications from the liberals after this attack. I could not believe what I was listening to. One woman, one reporter for CNN from France said, well, you know, there was an aircraft carrier, a French aircraft carrier, returning from the Syrian battlefront, which was used in the war against the ISIS over there. And so there's some kind of resentment, you know. Said Wolfie. So you see, we have subversives at every level in this society of ours. The principals are in government, but the media collaborators have preceded them. And the collaborationists in the media are the real problem. The Wolf Blitzers, I don't have to name them, the Jake Tappers, Brian, whatever his name, they're the ones who have softened you up to make you believe there's a justification, number one, for the acts of these psychotics, subhumans, and number two, to also render you incapable of even creating an internal self-defense against them, so that nothing can be done to stop them is what they want you to believe. That is the new normal. Nothing could be further from the truth. We can stop them in this country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, which is, in essence, a government in exile. I shouldn't have to be doing the show today. If we had a legitimate government that was out to protect we the people, they would be doing the job today that I am talking about. They would be informing you of these background stories. Heads would be rolling today. Bombs would be dropping today on Raqqa. Raqqa wouldn't exist today. They would have atomized the city with everyone in it. It's enough. At some point, someone's going to take the gloves off and unleash the B-52s or the B-1s, and there'd be no city left. And then everyone who runs out will be stopped, and anyone who's an ISIS member will be shot on the spot. You go to the rat's nest. And you say, well, how's that going to stop them within here? Well, first you take out their homeland, then you go here in this own in your own country. The FBI says they have 1,000 of them under watch. Well, the subhuman in France was under the watch of the French police. Did you know that? Did you know that he was a police informant? And that he was a double agent? Didn't make it to the Chronicle? Mohammed, the ice cream truck driver? I'm going to tell you more about why the terrorists are winning the intelligence war, according to a great, great writer named Spengler, David Goldman, who writes for Asian Times. He's disclosed things I was not shocked, but enlightened by. Let's put it to you that way. But I want to go back to who they really are. Those of you who are lame-brained and weak-minded, who think that they have a legitimate grievance. You sick liberals, you, who've been brainwashed in the colleges by the perverts who have run the universities into the ground. Here is what the subhumans did in France during that attack on the nightclub in Paris last November in Bataclan. Women were sexually tortured, stabbed in the genitals, and their eyes were plucked out. This is according to a secret committee hearing. People were decapitated. Now, one of the people, a parent of a son who was found mutilated, the father of one of the victims, sent a copy of a letter that he sent to the investigating judge, which I have up on Michael Savage from HeatStreet.com. And the father's letter went like this. Quote, on the causes of the death of my son, A, at the Forensic Institute in Paris, I was told, and what a shock it was for me at that moment, that they had cut off his testicles and put them in his mouth, and he was disemboweled. When I saw him behind glass lying on a table, a white shroud covering it up to the neck, a psychologist was with me. He said, this is the only presentable part, your son's left profile. I found he had no right eye, I made the remark. I was informed that they had punctured his eye and sliced down the right side of his face. Are you ready for this? This particular witness could corroborate the statements that we heard from one of the BAC officials that one of his investigators vomited immediately on leaving the Bataclan after finding a decapitation and evisceration. They said, are you aware of such facts? Now listen to this to show you how far the cover-up in the West is going. The Obama types in France, why they're losing and getting killed. A French prosecutor appearing before this closed inquiry replied lamely that no sharp knife had been found at the scene that could have been used for torture. He said perhaps shrapnel had caused the mutilation. Well, the head of the investigating committee asked if an explosion would have placed testicles in a victim's mouth. Prosecutor says, I specify for the sake of clarity, some of the bodies found at the Bataclan were extremely mutilated by the explosions and weapons, to the point that it was sometimes difficult to reconstruct the dismembered bodies. In other words, injuries described by this father may also have been caused by automatic weapons, by explosions, or projections of nails and bolts. Listen to what they're saying to cover up. So then they say to the prosecutor, the cover-up prosecutor, would those have put a man's testicles in his own mouth? The French prosecutor said at the hearing, I do not have that information. This news follows reports that German police sat on the huge number of sexual assaults committed by Islamist migrants in Cologne, which a secret report estimated at thousands, not hundreds, covered up again by the fabulous, fabulous anti-German Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, who has achieved one of Hitler's major goals, which is to have most of Europe under German central control, is also psychically damaged to the point that she is invading her own nation with foreign immigrants, primarily Muslims. It's hard to believe this is going on in front of our eyes. But wait, if you think it's limited to Germany and France, that the West can still somehow be saved here in the United States of America, listen carefully to what the psychopath in the White House said within the last hour during a so-called national briefing on the terrorist attack in France that occurred yesterday. The blood is still in the streets. Listen to what this man just said.
In the wake of last night's attacks, we've heard more suggestions that all Muslims in America be targeted, tested for their beliefs, some deported or jailed. And the very suggestion is repugnant and an affront to everything that we stand for as Americans. We cannot give in to fear or turn on each other or sacrifice our...
He's definitely a double agent. Overtly, covertly, doesn't matter. Instead of vociferously attacking the attackers, he vociferously attacks the defenders of Western civilization, in this case Newt Gingrich. If the man is not a double agent, it doesn't matter. If the man is not an overt sympathizer, it doesn't matter. What he is doing is the equivalent of working for ISIS right now. Did you hear what I just said? By coming out with this speech at this time, it doesn't matter what side he's really on. All that matters is that he's doing the bidding of a propaganda chief for ISIS. Time is now. The time is now. There's no tomorrow. We're losing the war. The civilization is collapsing in front of our eyes. It began a long time ago, and then we put this man in the White House who has so further deadened us to our own survival that we don't even know which way to turn. Some people do. Some people have no idea what's going on. And that's why I ask you, the listeners of the program today, if you were given the opportunity, what would you advise a legitimate government to do to stop the next Muslim from doing this in America? I say, what do you mean Muslim? How do we know it's a Muslim? His name was Muhammad. He was a Muslim from Tunisia. Well, that's not saying all attacks here in America. Didn't Timothy McVeigh, isn't it white males in the militias, according to DHS? Aren't they the biggest threat? Again, doesn't matter whether they're collaborating with the enemy or are the enemy. All that matters is they're not fighting the enemy. It's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether Jay Johnson of DHS is mentally deep damaged goods, or he's stupid, or he's doing what Obama tells him to do. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he's not protecting us. That's all. Did he stop the last terrorist attack in San Bernardino? Still has his job. He has not lost his job after one, two, three terrorist attacks under his watch. So what good is DHS? A vast, bloated bureaucracy that spends billions of dollars a year on nothing, making sure that white militias don't gain a foothold in America. So, my friends, the next story I'm about to tell you is even worse. As you well know, there's a domestic group in America called Black Lives Matter that some have called a terrorist group. We do know that they're anti-American. There's no question about it. They're a front for very dangerous groups. And to prove what they are doing, to read you what they are doing, will give you some evidence that you can use yourself and come to your own conclusions. Liam Deacon and Breitbart today put together some tweets from Black Lives Matter activists who were complaining that complaining that they were angry because dead white people in France were stealing their limelight. To show you how racist they are, Black Lives Matter supporters have claimed the deadly terrorist attack in France was to make people lose attention in their movement and focus on white lives instead. Twitter user named Semsa said, okay, I've come to the conclusion that what happened in Nice was to make people lose attention off Black Lives Matter and focus and unite against us. Franklin Omar, an activist from London, describes himself as a Muslim, says, don't hashtag pray for Nice. We are fighting a civil war against whites. Hashtag BLM. Well, I'm glad he's admitting it's a civil war. I told you that that's what it was. Mr. Omar then added, I'm seeing all this ignorant hate for Muslims. These people aren't Muslim. Hashtag pray for Nice. Hashtag Nice. Hashtag not all Muslims, wrote Omar, adding, quote, your women are ours now. Allah has promised them to us. I can't read the word, white crusader. Piss off. Watch as Rome burns. And LOL, we've already won Europe. USA can't do anything against the caliphate. And then he insults white men. California-based model and BLM supporter Clarivel Garcia said, it's sad to see all these people saying pray for Nice, France, but you guys can't even say Black Lives Matter. Here's another Los Angeles-based BLM terror activist. As sad as it is to hear about France, I'm even more sad sick that now the media will push hashtag Black Lives Matter even further back in the queue. Another one added, LOL, why did these haters tweet me about my hashtag Black... I can't read this illiteracy. These subliterate morons really get me sick. Hacktivist group Anonymous and Black Lives Matter had announced the so-called Day of Rage to be held today, the day after the deadly terrorist attack in southern France. So they're not giving up on their desire to bring America down even further. By the way, yesterday there was a speech by Hillary Clinton. She did not mention radical Islam. Neither former Secretary of Hate Hillary Clinton nor so-called President Barry Obama mentioned Islam or radical Islam in their responses to the Nice terror attack on Thursday. There are no jokes today. We are facing two wars and losing both of them. An internal race war fueled by this administration, and both an internal and an external religious war, which we will not even acknowledge, let alone fight. We are in a real dangerous place, and if you think that we can't fall, you are mistaken. Some would say we have already fallen. By dint of the fact that Obama got up today and attacked Newt Gingrich rather than those who committed that atrocity indicates an awful lot to me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Another Islamist attack in France, 84 more dead, 202 hurt, many hanging on for dear life. The driver crushed children and babies under the wheels of his 16-wheeler. Let me repeat that for all you good liberals. And it was not, by the way, one of those wireless trucks. At first, perhaps you thought the truck itself did it. Wolf Blitzer would have you believe it was a truck that did it and that we needed a a truck ban because assault trucks are dangerous. And it was not a truck that was wireless. It was driven by a Muslim immigrant. He crushed children and babies under his wheels. He was only stopped when the cops shot him to death after his one-mile rampage. And they used guns, by the way. Cops stopped them with guns, Dianne Feinstein. Oh, yeah, it was guns that stopped the Islamic terrorist, or else it would have been worse. Think about what if the people had been armed in that crowd in France. I was thinking about that. You say it was a crazy argument. You see a truck killing people, running people over. No one can stop him. What if you had a gun? You go up to the driver's side and shoot his brains out. You stop the truck. But no, that's not possible. Not in France. They've been disarmed a long time ago. Obama took over France a long time ago. Now, Spengler, David Goldman, why the terrorists are winning the intelligence war. He's asking, why did the French police allow a foreign national with a criminal record of violence to reside in France? Hello, Mr. Obama. Why are you bringing in foreign nationals with criminal records from Syria, Mr. Obama? He says, apart from utter incompetence, the explanation is that he was a snitch for the French authorities. Blackmailing Muslim criminals to inform on prospective terrorists is the principal activity of European counterterrorism agencies, as he noted in 2015. He said every Muslim in Europe knows this. But listen to this twist. The terrorists, though, have succeeded in turning the police agents sent to spy on them and forcing them to commit suicide attacks to expiate their sins against Allah. The terrorists, in other words, are adding insult to injury. By deploying police snitches as suicide attackers, terrorists assert their moral superiority and power over Western governments. The message may be lost in the Western public, whose security agencies and media do their best to obscure it, but it is well understood among the core constituencies of the terrorist groups. The superiority of Islam turns around the depraved criminals whom the Western police sent to spy on us and persuades them to become martyrs for the cause of Islam. Mr. Goldman continues, he says, these attacks, in other words, are designed to impress the Muslim public as much as they are intended to horrify the Western public. In so many words, the terrorists tell Muslims that Western police agencies cannot protect them and that if they cooperate with the police, they will be found out and punished. The West fears the power of Islam. Listen carefully to what he writes. It evinces such fear by praising Islam as a religion of peace, by squelching dissent in the name of fighting supposed Islamophobia, and by offering concessions and apologies to Muslims. Listen to Barack Obama today and tell me if he doesn't meet that exact paradigm.
In the wake of last night's attacks, we've heard more suggestions that all Muslims in America be targeted, tested for their beliefs. Some deported or jailed. And the very suggestion is repugnant and an affront to everything that we stand for as Americans.
You mean everything you stand for, not everything we stand
for. We cannot give in to fear or turn on each other.
No, we can't give in to collaborationists like you.
We cannot.
We must resist this collaborationist or we're all going to die.
Exactly what the
terrorists
want.
Resist him.
We should never do.
He is a mouthpiece for our demise. He is the Pied Piper of death. So David Goldman goes on and says the terrorists, in short, are winning the intelligence war because they have shaped the environment in which intelligence is gathered and traded. But that is how intelligence wars always proceed. Spies switch sides and tell their stories because they want to be with the winner. ISIS and Al-Qaeda look like winners in the eyes of Western Muslim populations after humiliating the security services of the West. As a result, Western European Muslims fear the terrorists more than they fear the police. He says the West will remain vulnerable to mass terror attacks until a balance of fear shifts in the other direction, which is why Newt Gingrich was 100% right, and why we have to revisit the whole question of interning foreign nationals who are of criminal backgrounds, who never belonged here to begin with, until we consider this war to be beaten down sufficiently that we are protected.
War. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now today we are all French, in more ways than one, both in mourning and in defeat, because America is a defeated nation. We are run by collaborationists who are lying to us on a daily basis, most particularly the collaborationist in the White House who had the audacity to come up with the same old homily when Newt Gingrich said that we should kick anyone out who practices Sharia law, deport them. Right away, Obama jumped to the fold to defend Islam. Again, not to attack the Islamists, but to attack those who oppose the Islamists in some uncomfortable ways. I would say some disgusting ways. And let me tell you something. It's going to take some disgusting ways to win this war against radical terror, Islamic terror. We need men with the stomach to for the job. They have to do some very disgusting things, as was done in previous insurgencies and wars themselves. What we last need is a collaborationist like Obama, who either willingly, knowingly, or unwillingly and unknowingly is beating America, the American will to survive, down. Again, I have to play for you what he said today, a few minutes before the show, as an example of what he is doing to undermine and destroy our resolve to defeat Islamist terror. Listen.
In recent weeks, we've seen heinous attacks inspired or directed by ISIL here in the United States, in Turkey, in Iraq, in Bangladesh, in Saudi Arabia. And these terrorists are targeting and killing innocent people of all backgrounds and all faiths, including Muslims.
There we go again.
And I know I speak for all of us when I say that these individuals and these networks are an affront to all of our humanity.
And what did you say about Newt Gingrich today, Mr. Obama? Let's hear that one. That's the one I want to hear, Robert.
In the wake of last night's attacks, we've heard more suggestions that all Muslims in America be targeted, tested for their beliefs, some deported or jailed. And the very suggestion is repugnant.
To who?
And an affront to everything that we stand for as Americans.
Who's we? Who's we? Stop. So
we
there it is. Okay, stop. Who does he represent? The American people? The American left? The American suicidal left? Who does he represent when he says we? So again, I got to go back to the most brilliant insight into this whole war on terror that I have found today. David Goldman, he's known as Spengler, Asia Times, Why the Terrorists Are Winning the Intelligence War. And I read you the first part in the last hour. I want to go back to one paragraph. He said, the West shows their fear of Islam by praising Islam as a religion of peace, by squelching dissent in the name of fighting supposed Islamophobia, thank you, CARE, and by offering concessions and apologies to Muslims. He said, as a result, ordinary Muslims who live in fear of the radicals will not help us because they fear them more. He said, as a result, Western European Muslims fear the terrorists more than they fear the police. He says the West will remain vulnerable to mass terror attacks until the balance of fear shifts in the other direction. I have to read this to you. It's imperative. As the Prussian army drove into France during the 1870 war with France, Germany's Chancellor Otto von Bismarck sought the advice of the American military observer, none other than General Phil Sheridan, whose cavalry had burned out the farmers of the Shenandoah Valley in the last stages of the conflict, meaning the Civil War. What should Bismarck do about French snipers and saboteurs from villages along the Prussian route of march? He asked. General Sheridan told Bismarck to burn the villages, leaving the people with nothing left but their eyes to weep with after the war. He said that and hang the snipers. That's what Sheridan said, hang the snipers. Like General William Sherman, who burned a great swath through Georgia and the Carolinas, Sheridan believed that war is won not just by killing soldiers, but by denying them support from a broader civilian population. There's nothing particularly clever about this insight. The Union always had more men and more resources. What it lacked was generals with the stomach for the job. This meant not only the grisly war of attrition waged by Grant, but also retaliation against civilians. When snipers fired on Union soldiers from Tennessee or Kentucky villages, Sherman expelled residents, burned houses, and laid waste to crops. And here's the most important part. Listen carefully. There are lessons here for what we used to call quaintly the global war on terror. Destroying ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other Muslim terror groups is not particularly difficult. Far less difficult than Sherman or Sheridan's task during the Civil War. It simply requires doing some disgusting things. He says Western intelligence doesn't have to infiltrate terror groups, or tap phones, or mine social media postings, although these are doubtless worth doing. He said Muslim communities in the West will inform on the terrorists. They will tell police when someone has packed up and gone to Syria and when he has returned. They will tell police who was talking about killing Westerners, who has a suspicious amount of cash, who was listening to broadcasts from Salafist preachers. They will tell Western security services everything they need to know, provided that Western security services asked in the right way. And he says, I mean in Phil Sheridan's way. Like the victorious Union generals of the Civil War, the West does not have to be particularly clever. It simply needs to understand what kind of war it is fighting. Most Muslims, he writes, are peaceful people who disapprove of terrorism, but many are not. Opinion polls show a large and consistent minority of 20% to 40% approves of at least some form of terrorism. The way to win the war, he writes, is to frighten the larger community of Muslims who passively support terror by action or inaction. Frighten them so badly that they will inform on family members. Frightening the larger Muslim population in the West does not require a great deal of effort. A few thousand deportations would do. Western intelligence services do not even have to deport the right people. The wrong people know who they are, and so do many of their neighbors. The ensuing conversation is an easy one to have. Quote, I understand that your nephew is due for deportation, Hussein, and I believe you when you tell me that he has done nothing wrong. I might be able to help you, but you have to help me. Give me something I can use, and don't waste my time by making things up, or I swear that I'll deport you also. If you don't have any information, then find out who does. Close quote. He concludes, this approach to quashing insurgency has worked numerous times in the past. It is not characteristic of peacetime life in Western democracies, to be sure, but neither was Phil Sheridan's ride through the Shenandoah. We prefer to think about winning hearts and minds. Winning the hearts and minds of a people, though, isn't difficult once they fear you. David Goldman, Asia Times. He should be working for Donald Trump as Director of Central Intelligence or the FBI. Maybe he will one day. Maybe we will, at the end of the day, be saved at the last minute from this band of collaborationists in the White House. There's more news that's coming out. There seems to be another supporter of the ice cream truck driver, Mohammed, who killed all those people in France. There are pictures of the police dragging away a suspect from the scene of the massacre, struggling with the suspect, while one officer keeps his gun trained on the truck's cab. The truck was not stopped, by the way, with bubbles or with flowers. The driver was shot dead in his truck by French police who were armed. Just imagine for a moment if there were 6 to 10 men who were armed in that crowd of holiday goers watching the fireworks, which was set to go off later on. Just 6 men trained to use weapons. And they saw Mohammed the ice cream man running over men, women, and children, crushing them, screaming Allah Akbar. And they were quick enough with presence of mind to pull out their licensed weapons and kill him by jumping up on the running board and blowing his filthy brains out. Think about that the next time you open your pie hole and talk about taking away our Second Amendment, because Charlton Heston was 100% right. You'll have to pry the guns out of our cold, dead hands. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Western civilization is in a war. We should, frankly, test every person from here who is of a Muslim background, and if they believe in Sharia, they should be deported. Sharia is incompatible with Western civilization. Modern Muslims who have given up Sharia, glad to have them as citizens, perfectly happy to have them next door. We need to be fairly relentless about defining who our enemies are.
100% right. Obama then today took umbrage at Newt's suggestion, attacking Newt rather than ISIS. He had more negative to say about Newt than he did about Muhammad, the ice cream truck driver who crushed men, women, and children in the truck yesterday. Okay, my friends, it's time for you to talk. I've gone for an hour and 20 or 15 minutes without taking calls. It's a very sobering day in America to wake up and see that we have no government between us and them, virtually no protection between us and them, and a complicit media that is again softening us up for what we must do, the uncomfortable, ugly things that must be done if we are to survive. Job on KSFO, go ahead. You've got your moment of fame. Fire away.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Appreciate the chance to talk on this very important day. You know, I think that Speaker Gingrich's comments regarding the idea that we can define somebody is incorrect in the sense that he doesn't really know what he's talking about. Because Sharia, it's not necessarily just law like we think in terms of jurisprudence, but it's a code of conduct. It's a way of life. It's virtues that encompass more than...
You mean virtues like driving over men, women, and children in an ice cream truck if they're infidels and filth? Is
no.
that one of the virtues?
In the sense that respecting your parents, giving back to charity.
Please stop with the propaganda. Please, who do you really work for?
My father used to actually be a member of the Republican Senatorial Inner Circle.
What does that matter? Most of them are stupid. So what is it that you're actually saying? What are you saying? That people who practice Sharia are not more likely to be extremists? Is that what you're saying?
You're defining Sharia incorrectly. The idea.
No, you didn't answer my question. Newt wasn't attacking so-called Sharia law. He was saying that those who practice Sharia law are the more fundamentalist Muslims and are more likely to become or are terrorists. That's what he was saying.
He's incorrect in the sense that he's attacking Sharia, but in fact it's Wahhabism, which is what he really...
You're just changing the discussion now. Now you're changing the argument again. Are you a practicing Muslim?
Yes.
So why is it that you're so defensive about the most extremist element of your co-religionists?
Because you're defining Islamism, and by correlation, you're saying all Muslims are terrorists, which is not true. And I know you don't mean...
He didn't say all Muslims. He never said it. You just said it.
No, I'm just saying what...
He said those who practice Sharia law. So let's go down the list of the wonderful proscriptions of Sharia law. What do they say about women?
It depends on which jurisprudence you're talking about.
Oh, I see. So now there's going to be divisions within divisions within divisions of Sharia law. So how do Muslims who practice Sharia law treat women?
It depends on which country you're from.
All right, so you won't answer a question. Next,
no.
How do Muslims who believe in Sharia law approach gays? What do they think of gays?
They generally disfavor the practice.
Is that compatible with Western civilization as it is now practiced?
If you're a conservative, yeah, unfortunately.
Well, what does that mean if you're a conservative?
Well, generally, you don't prescribe to gay rights or gay marriage. So, in that sense, they are basically similar.
So, Sharia law looks down on gays. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And do you approve of that?
Do I approve of it? No, but I respect the laws that this country is based upon.
So, in other words, the extremists amongst your co-religionists who throw gays off roofs in Iraq are practicing a form of, an extremist form of Sharia law, are they not?
A political jihad, yeah. Course.
Okay, so where do they get this poisonous idea from?
It's the jurisprudence, the idea of fiqh, which basically means just interpretation.
Well, I don't really care about the law. Why are they throwing gays off roofs in the Middle East?
Because they believe that is allowed under law.
What law?
Under two things, the Quran, but that doesn't get gays because it wasn't written in there, but about the Hadith, which is the teachings and the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad.
So, in other words, they're interpreting the Bible literally, their Bible, the Quran. So, therefore, Newt Gingrich is correct. People in America who look upon their Bible and their laws in the most fundamentalist way are more likely to be terrorists. That's what he was saying.
Among more fundamental, yes, Dr. Sachs, that's right.
Or so that's why we're worried about people who practice Sharia law.
I understand that. It's just that we tend to congregate and say that everybody who follows Sharia, even if it's just like the, just being a good person, all of a sudden you're more likely, more apt to be a terrorist.
Well, you're more likely to see the terrorist point of view, as you seem to be somewhat sympathetic to their viewpoint, aren't you?
No, I'm just following based upon my teachings. I mean, I'm a law school graduate, so I can my understanding.
I don't care what you are. I mean, you could be a law school graduate and a mass murderer. What does that matter?
The idea
Hitler was a vegetarian and didn't drink. What did that matter?
The idea
so all of those external things don't matter. You're a practitioner of Sharia law, are you or not?
No, not in the sense that you're defining it.
Do you believe gays should be punished?
Honestly, no, I leave that up to God.
How do you think women should be treated from your viewpoint?
Honestly, I've appreciated the values that the society has given women. I think they should be treated equally.
So you then disapprove of making women walk around in tents, in 15th century tents in America or in Europe?
Yeah, of course. And I think if you ask most modern Muslim Americans, they would agree with that.
Okay, so why don't we begin by banning those tents because they enslave women? Would you go along with even that or not? Or that would offend some of your co-religionists?
It might offend the co-religionists, but I what tents are exactly you talking about, Dr. Savage?
See, that's the beginning, is to start to say, putting a woman inside a tent and having eye slits is not compatible with the West. We're going to outlaw it. That's what you start with. You start with the squeegee men. You start with the squeegee men, and you squeeze from there inward. And you squeeze them, and you squeeze them. And those who object most loudly to the banning of burqas are those who should go right to the top of the terror list. At least it's a starting point, is it not?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yesterday we hear a speech, Clinton and Trump, they agree the world is at war, and I don't know what their solution is. What, wringing their hands again? And then last night a famous commentator on Fox News says that we're at war, and I say, wow. Took him 15 or 16 years to come to that conclusion. Back in 9/11, there was an attack on America. Remember that one? Remember when the radical Muslims attacked the World Trade Center in New York City? Well, I went on the air the next day, and I think I said something about the world is at war, the world is at war, the world is at war, when will we close our borders? Been a lot of Johnny come lately since then. Listen to clip one. This is 15, 16 years ago. Listen. United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. In the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, Senator Orrin Hatch of the Intelligence Committee is reporting, we have intelligence that two connected to Bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? Are you offended at Bush's absence? This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland. We must atomize their training camps. We must atomize their training camps now, and I am not the only one who knows this. Maybe you've dismissed me as a right-wing nut. When I've been telling you for years, close the borders. Where do you think the terrorists came from? How do you think they got into our country? You morons, I've been telling you that ultra-tolerance is killing us. Well, the day has come. This is your Pearl Harbor. You're going to live with it just as I am. Ladies and gentlemen, where is our president? I will tell you that I am appalled that we have not heard from Bush except for one mealy-mouthed speech this morning. I am shocked that he was forced to leave the nation's capital. I am disgusted that even Hillary Clinton was on the White House lawn giving a speech today, and nowhere could be found Bush or Cheney. And I voted for this man. Where is our leadership? Where have all the good men gone? Well, this is what you get when you have a president who keeps saying, let's move on. By the way, the USS Cole was blown up a year ago. They're still investigating it. Maybe they should create a blue ribbon commission and hire somebody to go investigate it for 10 years. I am telling you that this is a direct result of ultra tolerance. This is a direct result of open borders. This is a direct result of a politically corrected society that is afraid to call what it is it is. Everybody knows who did this. Everybody knows who's behind this. Everybody knows what must be done. Where is Bush? Where is Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? What emergency steps are you taking now that we are at war? Do you have any idea what is going on? Do you have any idea what has happened to your country? Do you know that your life will never be the same? Are you aware that your comfort level has changed forever? Do you comprende, amigo? We are at war. Close the borders! I've been trying to stop this. I've been telling you about it. I've been warning you about it. Where is the muscular reaction? Where are the men of America? Where is the leadership of America? Next, we're going to hear that we're going to get counselors going out so you can get on your hands and knees and pray. They'll tell you what color ribbon to put on.
Savage.
2001. Not one word would I like to retract from that statement. Not one. I didn't even edit it. I didn't listen to it. I said to the guys, just get the tape from the day after. And there it was. Bush, remember, and Cheney ran out of the country. They went and went into hiding. All right, well, we don't have to relive that. I did say certain things that still hold true. We are at war. Close the borders. Still hold true. Glad last night, a very famous commentator on Fox News said, this is a war, World War III. Great. Took him 16 years to come to that. You know, I just thought of something. On November 17th, when I'm inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, I'm given 5 minutes to give a speech. What if I don't show up and just send this tape? Well, I'll go there, but I'm saying, what if? That tape's 5 minutes long. Actually, it's how long? 5 minutes and 30 seconds. You know, I wouldn't remove one word from it. It's almost my legacy speech. Nothing's changed. Here we are 15 years later. 15 years later, and we're still crippled. After trillions of dollars. There was not even a Department of Homeland Security at that time. What have they done to stop terrorist attacks? Nothing. Now the FBI is so reversed that we fear them more than the terrorists fear them. That's what's happened under this reign of terror right now. That's why we're all praying that Trump wins. We're just praying that the miracle happens and that everything finally is straightened out in the country. Not overnight, but surely as I'm sitting here, the climate will change. The climate will change, will shake off the chains, and the people will stand up for their own survival, their own freedom, and you'll see a reverberation throughout the land, right down to the smallest supermarket clerk. You will see a new pride in this country. But if she wins, it's more of the same. 15 years from now, we'll sit here like little crybabies, crying over the 19th terrorist attack, the 20th, the 21st, and say it's not our way of life to deport people who practice the most extremist form of Islam. It's not our way of life to inter the most dangerous terrorists. It's not our way of life to close the borders, get out the balloons, take your medication, go on a sporting venture. I pray that that's not what's going to be here in 15 years. All right, so that's it. I mean, that's it. That's the whole story. And here we have a situation where nothing will be done. Nothing will change in the FBI. Nothing will change in the CIA. Nothing will change in the NHS. Nothing will change. Nothing. How many of the 1,000 men who are under surveillance by the FBI will be rounded up today and yanked into detention before they kill somebody? Answer, none. Because the President of the United States has not told them, okay, things have changed. The signal is go. It's a green light. Pull them all in. We want them detained, all of them. We're putting all thousands of them into an internment camp until we straighten this thing out. We can't afford to lose an American citizen again. Wouldn't that be a rational thing to do? To pull the 1,000 into an internment camp? I didn't say all Muslims. Don't misinterpret me. Please don't misquote me either. The FBI, about 2 weeks ago, said that they have over 1,000 active investigations of Muslim terrorists. They didn't say Muslim, but we know it. Wink, wink, nod, nod. ISIS sympathizes, under surveillance. So what, you're waiting for them to blow up a nursery school? Or take a truck, drive it into a crowd? And then what, you're going to get the body bags and do an investigation? I love, they're picking up the shell casings. I heard the schmucks last night on television. The idiots. The morons, the former CIA jerks, the former this jerk, the former general jerks. Well, we have an investigation. We're going to get the TNT, the gunpowder signature, and there's a lot to be learned here. We'll send the FBI over, and they'll take it back to Quantico. They'll look at the signature. Isn't that terrific? Isn't that terrific? All the morticians. The morticians instead of the assassins. Yeah, okay, well, you got the picture. You got the drift. No man is an island. I shouldn't have to lead this war of ideas. It shouldn't be on my shoulders. It's a terrible burden. This should be coming from the president or the head of DHS or the FBI, not from me. They're all in hiding. They're all reading their notes on diversity training. That's what they can say about radical Islam. They're all being given a lesson today on how far they can go. That's if they even want to go there. So here we are. The government in exile. That's what we are. You know, those few of us in radio, television, even fewer on the internet, fewer. You know that we're basically a government in exile? That's what we are. We are a government in exile. And we are speaking for the masses of people in this country who have no voice. But our voice is very important. It's part of the American tradition for minority groups to have representation, Mr. Obama. And we, the people who are in exile, also deserve to be heard. And I hope you heard what we said and take it the right way. We're not frightened. We're angry. We're angry at you in particular because you continue to collaborate with the enemy by not attacking the enemy verbally. You constantly look to defend their actions one way or the other. And we're sick of it. We're sick of it. And we're going to take this country back. Come November, we're going to throw you out and your whole damn party. You're all going. The entire left-wing cabala's going. We'll never have to watch that fetid old woman, Dianne Feinstein, sit on the Senate Intelligence Committee while all of these things go on, and she says nothing. Nothing. An old woman, a senile old woman who sits up there on a Senate Intelligence Committee, has nothing to say after another terrorist attack. Nothing. Her and Richard Blum, the husband, in San Francisco, sitting high up there in Pacific Heights. Never had it so good. All of these powerful, powerful octogenarians sitting there like ancient Roman senators, peering down at the dumb masses. and they were assigned a job to protect us, and what they've done for us is nothing. They've done less than zero. We hope not only that all of this will change with the new administration, but, and we do want this, we want an investigation. We want a House of Un-American Activities Committee to be formed. I know this is controversial, but I don't care. I want a new HUAC in this country. If Donald Trump wins and he asks me, okay, what would you like to do? There's a lot of things I'd like to do. And I told you that I laid out an architectural plan for what he has to do, because a lot of things will be forgotten come January if he wins. And they're all in my Scorched Earth book, which is not even for sale, so stop accusing me. It's a document for him. It's a document for you. Scorched Earth. Restoring America after Obama. That's what the whole book is about. Scorched Earth. Because Obama's practicing a Scorched Earth policy against every one of our sacred institutions. He is literally, like Sherman, burning things to the ground. He is implanting people who can never be removed from the government, short of some kind of martial action against them to take them out of every aspect of this government. Oh, boy, is there a big job to be done. But then we need a new UAC. I have a whole chapter on what this UAC will look like, House of Un-American Activities Committee. And please don't buy the propaganda that it was all innocent people who were rounded up, whose lives are ruined. That's all Hollywood putting out the big lie. The Venona papers proved beyond a reasonable doubt that virtually everyone who was rounded up and put on the grill during the McCarthy era was in fact a communist collaborator looking to undermine America. Well, we have collaborators right now who are actively undermining America, either by working with the enemy or by looking the other way and only feathering their own nest. They, too, should be subject to penalties for having abrogated their responsibilities under the law. I'll be right back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. After this latest massacre by another Islamist in France, for those of you who are undecided about Hillary or Donald, it's a great, great one paragraph for you today in Breitbart from Julia Hahn. If elected president, Hillary Clinton to resettle 1 million more Muslim migrants during her first term alone. Did you hear this? This is according to the latest available data from the Department of Homeland Security. Between 01 and 13, the U.S. permanently resettled 1.5 million Muslim migrants on green cards. But under Hillary Clinton's stated proposals, Muslim immigration would grow substantially faster, adding nearly 1 million more Muslim migrants to the U.S. during her first term alone. So I'll make a little statistical challenge for you. If only 1% of those 1 million become radicalized, that's 10,000 radicals that she will bring in. It's only one, if it's only 1%. So let's say it's less than 1%. Let's say it's a half of 1%. So could we afford 5,000 more jihadists here? So let's say it's not 0.5%. Let's say it's 0.1%. Can you afford even 1,000 of them? Do you have any common sense left? Or you already got the flowers out and the balloons now somewhere in a, outside an embassy here in America? You're on your hands and knees crying already. No, you don't have to cry. Go into the voting booth and throw these left-wing fanatics out before we're all dead. One man's opinion. Today we are all France. Race war in America fueled by this administration, and both a religious and race war around the world with no leadership willing to fight either. I've asked you, what would you advise the government do to stop the next Islamist attack in America? We will continue with this discussion in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Today we are looking at the Trojan horse that has entered our gates. The Trojan horse that has entered our gates. Now, who led this Trojan horse through the city gates? Why, we all did. We all willingly opened the city gates to this Trojan horse because we were good people. We were kind people. We were better than them. It's not our way of life to close those city gates. It's just not who we are. We don't live in a closed society, say the liberals. We're an open society. We need open gates. Well, here we are, my friends. How much more open can we get? We let people in who practice Sharia law. Now, you have to say to yourself, Newt Gingrich is onto something when he says, look into the Muslim community and those who practice Sharia law should be deported. Why would he say that? I think he said it because amongst those who practice Sharia law, you will likely find the largest number of those who are either radical or going to be radicalized. In other words, they're the extremists. And so, my friends, it's all about ideas and thoughts and a mindset. Sharia is the belief system of the largest majority of Muslims worldwide. What is Sharia? How does Sharia law view homosexuals, all of you on the left who think that your greatest enemies are Republicans? Do you have any idea what world you're living in? Now, what about you feminists, you radical feminists? How are you viewed amongst the Muslim world, especially those who are not westernized, those who practice Sharia law? Do you have any idea? What does it have to do with the fact that they have derived an economy of scale that is pure genius? They don't have to launch a Tomahawk missile or set off a dirty bomb anymore to kill hundreds and wound hundreds more. They can take a truck and drive it into a crowd of men, women, and children crushing little babies' heads underneath truck wheels because they have a disarmed population, disarmed mentally and disarmed with weaponry. France has been disarmed a long time. That's why they're a defeated nation. Any nation that is disarmed is a malleable nation that can easily be manipulated. The last nut to crack is the United States of America, which is why Hillary Clinton must be stopped at all costs. But I don't want to talk about guns today. I don't want to, you know, get to the hero John Wayne stuff. Anyone could sound tough on the radio, myself included. No one is tough. None of us are immortal. None of us are bulletproof. None of us are bombproof. Every one of us lives in reality, especially those of us who have the assignment given to us by fate or by our own volition to speak to masses of people on a daily basis and in some way inspire them. That's my job every day. Say, is the burden too heavy? Well, if it was, I would have quit. I would have hung up the mic cord and walked off stage and never hear from me again. It's not too heavy, not at all. It's getting there, but it's not there yet. Maybe it'll be that way by the end of December. Maybe it won't be. I have to decide what I want to do because I have to decide after the election, I will know what I want to do. I don't want to go into that right now. It's like a personal decision, frankly. If Hillary wins, there will be almost no point to staying in the radio business, to spend 8 more years talking about a dying nation. If Trump wins, there'll be every reason to stay in the radio business. Because then we will have hope and we will have vengeance. So, having said that, I'll let you talk. I've talked for 2 straight hours before this, and I think that I made some good sense today. I mean, the best part was why the terrorists are winning the intelligence war by Spengler, David Goldman, Asian Times. You could probably read it yourself. It's up on michaelsavage.com. We also talked about the fact that the world is at war and has been at war since at least 9/11. It was at war before then, as I pointed out for you, since I know a bit about history. In my last book, Government Zero, I proved to you beyond a reasonable doubt that radical Islam has been at the war with the world for over 1,400 years. It didn't start 9/11. 1,400 years they've been at war with the whole world to convert or kill everyone who was called an infidel. That's you. And how did I open that book? I have to read that sentence because, boy, is it ever appropriate today. There is a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamofascists. Meanwhile, the Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants, partying on behind closed doors as if the Islamofascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of radical Islam. We're facing something the West hasn't had to deal with since the wars of religion in the 16th and 17th centuries. When those religious wars ended in one place, they began in another. They lasted for over 100 years. The same thing is happening right now. The radical Muslims are on the warpath, and they are against everyone else. They are against Muslims who are not as fanatical. They are against the members of all other religions. They think they are going to take us back to some pristine religious period in human history that never actually occurred. It's all complete rubbish. These faith warriors live lower than the pigs they despise. They kidnap and rape 8-year-old girls and say the Quran authorizes it. They're not purists, they're killers. They're Nazis in headscarves. They aren't leading a religious revival. They're trying to take us back to a state of barbarism that has been extinct for 1,200 years. This is a barbaric revolution, and we have a man in the White House who denies its existence. But whether he chooses to acknowledge it or not, it's going to continue until someone puts a stop to it. That was my book, What Can One Man Do? I don't have the bully pulpit, he does. I don't have NBC, CBS, ABC. I'm never invited on Fox News. Never heard from. No one knows of me, except my loyal listeners, a number in the millions. Over a period of a week, it's in the millions. In any quarter of hour, it's in the hundreds of thousands. On the Internet, this is the most listened to radio show in the United States of America, the most listened to talk radio streaming show in the country, with a 25 share. You know what that means? That means one out of four people who are streaming talk radio while I am on the air are listening to me. One out of four. The next closest competitor has a 13 share. So the young people are not all into just drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I mean, I'd say that a majority of streamers are younger, not solely them, but they're listening. They want to know where they're at, what's going on. They want ideas. And while they've heard things about me that may or may not be true, they listen, and they're making up their own minds. This country is changing rapidly right in front of our eyes. A lot of things go through a man's mind when he's on the radio, from the most mundane to the most spiritually demanding you could ever imagine. For example, during my break, I got an email about my little dog, Teddy. Say, well, what does that have? They just killed 80, 100 people and killed 200. I love my little dog. He's a thing of love in my life. So he's been choking a lot lately. You know, he's 12 years old. He looks like he's one. These little guys never quit. And every time he jumps off a bed, he starts to go. So the last time he had the x-rays, I had a look at it, and he had a pinched trachea. Okay, so today he was taken to the surgeon, and it says his normal tracheal diminished capacity for his age, heart valve leaks. And we're going to put him on non-opioid infant cough meds and an appointment for new echocardiogram, check his heart valves. So, all right, it's the way of all flesh. Now you say, well, what does one little dog have to do with this whole damn world? Why are you talking about one little dog? Why? Because he's important to me. Because we in the West love our pets. And you know there's only one religion on earth that hates dogs? Did you know that? You see, this is something they won't tell you. Muslims hate dogs. Did you know that? It's forbidden by the Quran. They're considered dirty creatures. Oh, you didn't know that? That didn't make it to your comic book? Religion of peace? We love our dogs. We love our freedom. We love our wild sex. We love our movies. We love our dance. We love our music. We love the ability to do anything we want. But are we willing to fight for that? Are we willing to kill for that? Because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to go away. If you think they're just going to suddenly wake up one day and say, you know what, I did a terrible thing by driving a truck into that crowd. One of our men did that. He crushed little babies' heads. Oh, that's so awful. They're not going to wake up and say that. They're going to wake up and say, good for him. Go for it. They're saying it already all over the Internet. They're celebrating crushing babies' heads with a truck. Who's they? Who? Your enemy. Your enemy is celebrating it. And where's Black Lives Matter? You should see their tweets today. They're so angry. They're just so angry. They're saying that We shouldn't be paying attention to the deaths of white people in France because it's stealing your limelight. Claim the deadly terrorist attack in France was to make people lose attention in their movement and focus on white lives instead. Do you have any idea how mad this is? Black Lives Matter, just angry that we're looking at dead white people. What a compassionate group of communists they are. Yet they're invited into the White House. Who else is Obama invited into the White House that we don't know about? See, if you take an agitator from Black Lives Matter, a criminal who just came out of jail, and invite him into the White House, in other words, to say drop dead to the cops again, after the cops are laying dead, to kill them again and kill their hearts of the women again and the children. Who else is he invited into the White House that we don't know about? Look at who we know about. He invites the Black Lives Matter people in after Dallas to kill them again and to break the hearts of every survivor. So who has he had in the White House that we don't know about? How would we know? Closed to the public in this open, transparent society of ours. Okay, you get the picture. We're in trouble. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to worry about our children. We're going to worry about our safety. We're going to worry about our dogs. We're going to take our kids in for dental work, like clockwork, every 3 or 6 months. We're going to take our vitamins. We're going to continue to dance. We're going to continue to laugh. We're going to continue to go to music. We're going to continue to play our sports. We're going to continue to buy cars. We're not going to let these animals stop us. In fact, last night I was so angry that I put on a black tie and a beret and I went to a Basque restaurant I go to celebrate Bastille Day. I wasn't really hungry. I had no appetite from the slaughter. But I wanted in my own little way to show some solidarity with the French people. I mean, it made no big impact on France. But it was a defiance. It was an act of defiance for myself. So I put on a white dinner jacket. Reminded me of a Humphrey Bogart movie. Black beret, black tie, checked shirt. Went up to the restaurant, and there was an accordionist, and she was playing songs. I asked her to play some songs for me, mainly Edith Piaf. She explained the meaning of the Edith Piaf song, My Lord. I didn't know what it meant until she explained it to me. It was interesting. And I just thought about all the years that I grew up in the 50s, how I used to look at France as a place of freedom. And a place of great inspiration, of great art. I grew up as a kid cleaning French statues at my father's store. I remember, you know, sitting and dreaming about these sculptings, cleaning the bronzes with cyanide and looking at the every turn of the sculptor's hand in the steel. I didn't know I was thinking about France at the time, but I knew there were French bronzes. And I knew when I got old enough, I wanted to go to France. I wanted to go and see the great art. I wanted to go to the Louvre. I wanted to see the great paintings. I wanted to see Degas. I wanted to see Van Gogh. I wanted to see so many paintings that I had seen in art books. And I went and I saw it and it was great. And then I watched what happened to Europe over the last few years, how it's been decimated with fear and depression and overrun by Muslims and Africans. And I said, where's Europe? Why would they commit suicide like this? Why are they bringing them in? They're certainly not going to support the Louvre. They're not going to support the Eiffel Tower. They're going to destroy it. They're not going to support your culture and your civilization. They're out to destroy your civilization. Why are you waving them in? And then I think of America. I think of the people in America yesterday after this attack. All I could think of was the middle-aged couples in America saying, oh, dear, did you see that terrible event in Nice yesterday? Are we still going to go for the summer trip that we had scheduled for the Loire Valley? Oh, my God, my week in Provence is ruined. That's all they were thinking. They couldn't eat their cheese and drink their wine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN.
Military coup in Turkey.
Bridges over the Bosphorus have been blocked by trucks and armed troops. The Turkish military is claiming control. What this indicates is that Erdogan has been tilting towards the Islamist side, who has cracked down on human rights activists, is out of control. It may be the fall of him, fall of Erdogan. It could be a good thing. I don't know right now which way this is going to go. It's probably going to lead to a lot of bloodshed, but there's been a coup in Turkey with the military claiming that they are in control of the Turkish government. Here in America, many of you wish to God we still had a military, but instead of having a military coup in our mind, all we have is military cuckoos. That's all that's left. Obama has purged the U.S. military. This could never happen here. Obama has done to the military what Stalin did to the military, but instead of using bullets, he just threw them out of the military after disgracing them with lies. There is no military in America. Just 10 soldiers who report to the presidency. So here we are. Coup in Turkey. Military claims control. Will the Islamist government fall? The Islamist government, meaning Erdogan's government. Daily Mail is reporting we have taken control. The military's launched a coup to depose the Islamist government of Recep Erdogan. As the troops are rounding up police, attacking the capital, seizing all airports, and they have put tanks on the streets. Are you listening to this? Explosions and gunfire are being heard with fast attack jets patrolling over the skies of Istanbul. The Turkish military is claiming that they have taken power in order to protect the civil rights of the population. Attack helicopters have been seen firing machine guns in Ankara in a bid to destroy the Islamic government of Erdogan. This is an astounding story. It has so many historic threads to it that I dare not begin with only 9 seconds left to go before this break. Give me some time. I'll put it in context for you when I come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So we have now jumped from the massacre of innocents in Nice by a radical Islamist amongst the French to the coup in Turkey that is going on right now, fighting for the heart and soul of Turkey. Now, what is this about? What does it have to do with us? If the military succeeds in their coup, that's an extremely important event for all of the world, because Erdogan was moving the country radically in the direction of the ISIS camp. He was trying to appease them by incorporating more and more of their madness. And what happened was, you see, the Turkish people are a very advanced people. You may not know that about them. Turkey was the first nation that I know of in the West to grant women the right to vote. Did you know that? I don't have 100% knowledge of it right now, but I recall that in my reading. I have a smorgasbord of knowledge that extends to that area. And the fact of the matter is, Turkey was a very advanced nation on human rights. And then what happened was, over the years, it became more and more radicalized. And Erdogan, being the politician he is, tried to appeal to the Islamists the same way Obama's appealing to Black Lives Matter in order to bring them into his fold and make believe he's one of them. Suddenly Obama's telling us about, as a young boy in Hawaii, he experienced racism because a white woman got out of the elevator. Suddenly he's down with the ghetto people. It's unbelievable to me how far the guy will go. But bringing it back to this, a friend of mine, a psychiatrist, sent me a list of countries around the world that believe in Sharia. And he said, I think 50% or more of Muslims around the world believe that Sharia law should be the law of the land. And we were talking about that earlier, but he said the survey shows only 12% Sharia belief in Turkey, which means it was a very, for want of a better term, liberal country. It was not very happily going along the lines of the Islamists. I mean, Turkish women sure like driving their cars and teaching school and playing the piano. The Islamists would like to put them in burqas and take them out of the cars and basically turn them into sex slaves, broodmares. That's what the Islamists would like to do to women, and the Turkish women oppose radical Islam in ways you could never imagine, well, you can imagine, but ways you never heard of, because the media is either ignorant of it or doesn't want to tell you how much they hate Sharia law. So there's a coup going on, that's all, right now. How it plays out, we don't know tomorrow what it'll bring. You know, these things come and go. revolutions have a way of ending badly for everybody. We have taken control. Turkish military launched coup to depose Islamist government. London Daily Mail is the headline up on michaelsavage.com. They say President Erdogan is safe. A spokesman for the Erdogan government says the coup has been unsuccessful and they are still in power. Meanwhile, there were pictures coming out where troops, military troops, part of the coup, have established checkpoints across strategic locations and cities around Turkey, and the troops have imposed martial law. This is a carefully planned military coup, something that could never happen in the United States of America, to depose this radical regime in this country. Could never happen because all of the military generals who may have even been hinting in that direction were expunged from the military long ago. So that's what's going on. I know many of you say, I don't know what this means for me. Witnesses photographed a Turkish F-16 flying a combat air patrol over Ankara. So this is a fluid situation, as they say in the media. Tanks and armored personnel carriers are seen at the airport. Strategic bridges, tanks and armored personnel carriers. Now, here's an odd part. The military is rounding up the Turkish police. Think about that one. If you think there's solidarity, racial solidarity in a nation, I'll remind you of the Civil War where brother killed brother, in case you think that you're safe in this country because of a racial situation. The Turkish military, who outguns the police, have rounded up the Turkish police. Now, why would they do that? I'll let you figure that one out, which side the police are on and which side the military is on. Turkish military has also detained unarmed civilians. We don't know who they are. Troops across the nation have taken positions in strategic locations, according to Turkish witnesses. Now, what is this about? Listen to what the military said tonight. They said, tonight's actions will reinstall the constitutional order, democracy, human rights, and freedoms to ensure that the rule of law once again reigns in the country for the law and order to be reinstated. It says, all international agreements and commitments will remain. We pledge that good relations with all world countries will continue. A curfew has been imposed. They signed this on behalf of the Council for Peace in the Homeland. U.S. Secretary of State, the laughable John Kerry, said he hoped the crisis in Turkey would soon be resolved. God. I guess he's seeing if they can run some ketchup in after the coup. He was wondering if the ketchup run will still be ongoing. Dianne Feinstein has not been awakened from her afternoon nap, which started yesterday afternoon. The head of the Senate Intelligence Committee has not been awakened for the afternoon yet. But I'm sure, as sure she is, she will conduct business as usual and see if there's any way to make some money off this deal. Come on, it's just a, we don't know. She's probably as clean as the driven snow. Turkey's Prime Minister Binali, we don't know all of these people. He says it's illegal, they're going to retaliate, explosions. These things don't always end the way you think it's going to end. Sometimes there's a counter thrust and then the revolutionaries wind up with their heads in a sling. You don't know. They're not going to give up without a fight. But the pictures are pretty heavy. You're looking at heavily armed troops with black masks on, with machine guns, in the streets of Turkey. This was planned for quite a long time, according to what I'm seeing. This is not a few guys in a brigade. This is an entire army went on the warpath here, not one brigade. So who knows where this is going to end up. And I think the new government doesn't want religion ruling Turkey, in plain English. But the world is falling apart. That's the main thing you should know is the world is falling apart in front of your eyes. What's the point of pointing fingers? The world is falling apart. There's a lot of blame to go around, but mainly it's the Arab Spring, funded by George Soros. Let me spell it out for you. The madman, George Soros, according to my research, funded the Arab Spring. Zbigniew Brzezinski was the architect of the Arab Spring. Hillary Clinton was the salesman of the Arab Spring. And the rest is history. The world is falling apart. Make no mistake about it. She owns everything that's happening. If people only knew, if they could only. But what choice, what chance do we have in this country when we have the dirigibles licking ice cream across America? We have the Hindenburgs floating around cities licking ice cream cones, 240, 260, 280, literally floating down the streets of America with diabetes, licking ice cream cones. You know, why don't you just play a white sport coat and a pink carnation to symbolize America? They don't know. If you say to them nice, they think you're saying nice. If you went to the average dirigible floating down the street of America with an ice cream cone in its mouth, with its ear possibly tuned into a ball game, if you said, did you hear what happened in Nice, they would say it's called nice. You must be mispronouncing. You say, no, there was just a terrorist attack in Nice. Say, nice? What's nice? They don't even know what you're talking about. Now you say to them, coup in Turkey. They say, who is Turkey? Say, there was just a coup in Turkey. Say, who's cooing in Turkey? No, there's the military's conducted a coup in Turkey. What do you mean by cooing in Turkey? Who's cooing in Turkey? Did an actress have a love affair? I didn't see that in the New York Post. I didn't hear that an actress was cooing in Turkey on Instagram. This is the country we're living in. Now, the question is, what will Obama do, the great man, tomorrow? Or what speech tonight will he give about the coup in Turkey? He's really in a box right now. Is he going to support the restoration of freedom in Turkey, or is he going to stay with Erdogan, who is moving towards an ISIS-controlled nation? Well, I can pretty much tell you what he's going to do. You know which way this one's going, right? Now, this is all a fluid situation. But you have to be able to, you know, roll with the punches. And you got to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. WKZO in Michigan. Frank, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. What's your comment on this Turkish coup?
I called first. I wanted to congratulate you to being a Hall of Famer. I listen to you all the time. My fear is that he's going to do the same thing he did to Egypt. Because these military men, they're scared what's going to happen to them. It happened to Iran. They killed all the generals. Egypt didn't let it happen to them. And they were these people in Turkey, the military guys, they were scared of what's going to happen to them. And I have
I forgot. You've called the show before. What is your nationality?
I'm Persian.
Okay, so you know what they did in Iran. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Oh, boy, do I have a lot to say about Iran in my new book, Scorched Earth. The whole book begins with the Iranian revolution under Khomeini, which was caused by Jimmy Carter, and what it did to families that had lived there for 2,500 years, what he did to them. And I try to warn Americans about, you think you're safe here because your ancestors were born here one generation ago? The Islamists in Iran took people who had been there for 2,500 years or more and tried to kill them and throw them out of their own country. That's how crazy they are. So let's go to Turkey. You're saying the military is conducting this coup because they were afraid that Erdogan was going to assassinate them?
Exactly. What, you know, what they did in Egypt, what they did in Iran, and the guy from Egypt wanted to do, the military people in Egypt. And that's what all the military people, they were so scared that's going to happen to them. And this is my observation. I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
Well, it's an interesting observation. So tell me this. Why is the military, which is conducting this coup in Turkey right now, why are they rounding up the Turkish police?
That I don't know, because they probably think that the police department, they are mostly Erdogan.
Uh-huh. So the police are probably more in line with Erdogan's Islamist-oriented policies. And they're afraid the police will turn on them, so they're rounding up the police until they can sort them out. Well, this is what goes on in a revolution or a coup. No one knows in the beginning whose side to be on or what side to take, and we say it's not our business and who cares. Well, I remind everyone listening about Turkey and its importance in human history. Frank, thanks for calling from Michigan. Boy, what a story. KSFO, Jim, line 3. What's your comment on the coup in Turkey ongoing right now?
Yeah, Mike, Jim, and 27 years Army intelligence. I finished up in Guantanamo. That's my bona fides. Anyway, what's going on with Turkey? You know your history more than anybody. Ataturk. Ataturk was the one who kicked out the caliphate because he knew that Turkey could not come into the 20th century. Now they're going back. But what I called about is the irony that our commander-in-chief does not have a clue. Every time I see an explosion, every time I see a terrorist attack, I say to myself, has nothing to do with Islam. Has nothing to do with Islam. Those are his words. not mine. Okay, so having worked with the detainees in Guantanamo for 3 years, I can tell you about Islam. But the Turks, the army, is well-educated, and we train them. So they got American enlightenment. They do not want a caliphate. They don't want to go back into the 7th century. Am I making myself clear?
100%. 100%. And, you know, earlier today I talked about why the terrorists are winning the intelligence war by this guy Spengler. Did you hear that any of that on the earlier in the earlier hours?
Yeah.
Well, he said the West fears the power of Islam. It evinces fear by praising Islam as a religion of peace, by squelching dissent in the name of fighting supposed Islamophobia, and by offering concessions and apologies to Muslims. And then I played Barack Obama attacking Newt Gingrich for daring to stand up to those who practice adhere to a Sharia law here in America. So by that definition, Obama was meeting all of the requirements of a collaborationist with radical Islam.
Absolutely. I know you appreciate this. The Fez. Remember the Fez that you'd
yes,
see
of
in the...
Of course I do. The red hat with the little thing on it.
With a little tassel. Okay, you can think of, the American Cafe in...
I can think of Sidney Greenstreet in a Humphrey Bogart movie.
Was the one that got rid of that. You don't see fezes anymore.
No, I like the fez. It's a nice cap. It doesn't work on a boat, though. It'll blow right off in a wind, but it's a nice idea.
Well,
the fez is sort of like a New Year's Eve cap with a tassel.
See them anymore. They're in pictures. You know, they're in the movie.
Well, so you're not saying that the military wants to bring back the fez, are you?
No, I'm not saying that.
Ah, come on. I'm just trying to make light of a very serious situation. Last night I wore a beret to a French restaurant and a black tie in solidarity with the French. Maybe tonight I'll get a fez and go to a Turkish restaurant. I'll be right back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. The last piece of information about yesterday's slaughter in Nice, France. He claimed that he was delivering ice cream. The police had actually stopped the truck before he rode it on and killed everybody. And he said he was delivering ice cream. No links to Islam. Nothing. Just arrested a few times for petty crimes. So the fact is, how do we deal with them here? Well, Newt Gingrich had an idea. He said any Muslim who practiced Sharia should be deported. It brought an immediate reply from Barack Obama. And knee-jerk reflex. Not our way of life, not our belief system. Well, Mr. Obama, let me remind you that survival is actually our number one belief system. It's not imposing your beliefs on us. That's number one. But number two, there are other things that can be done. And I talked today about what FDR did during World War II, not only to Japanese, but to Italians and to Germans, which was internment. Another very ugly, controversial period in American history. But as you learn today from yet another thinker, and a good one, it will take ugly, ugly, ugly acts and disgusting things that we must do to defeat terror in this country and in the world. And we are awaiting the generals to do these ugly things to save us from the ugliest of possibilities. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Good night and God bless America.